Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may have noticed two things about the reading from Luke this morning. The first was that it has lots of names in it, and I want to thank Barb Jones for doing a fine job of reading the scripture this morning. And I'm going to talk about those in a few minutes. But something else may have struck you. John the Baptist is not a figure we normally associate with Christmas. We think of Lent. We think of locusts and honey and wearing animal skins and staying out in the desert and chiding people. John does not strike us as being an Advent person. Yet we know he is. We remember that he was born, and the pregnancy was told in Scripture, and it is shared during Advent. But why does Luke have this information here? What is Luke trying to do? Why does he share all of these names with us? Well, Luke is trying to set the stage, and he's providing us some context for the gospel. And he wants us to know about who was in charge on earth at that time. And so we hear about Herod and his brother Philip, and there's a reference to Tiberius and to Pontius Pilate. None of these figures are people that we would identify as paragons of good government. But that's what Jesus is trying to tell us when he comes and preaches and heals and ministers to us. Jesus is not a politician. He is not going to offer us a political platform, but he offers us something that is far more radical. And Jesus came to show us how we could live life in a new way. Herod and Pilate were yesterday's news. Jesus was bringing the future. And that is what we're preparing ourselves for during Advent, is for God coming to us and bringing his grace and his love and his power, and we can help do God's work. And yes, that takes some preparation. We need to pray. We need to repent. We need to turn ourselves over to God. Now, another reason for mentioning these names is to tell us that, contrary to popular belief, they don't matter. All of you matter. Think about that. In today's world, it is possible for us to feel helpless and powerless, that we can be overwhelmed by events and huge crowds of individuals. But God made each and every one of us, and we all count in God's eyes. As we read in the Hebrew Bible, God named us, God formed us, he knew us when we were in our mother's wombs. That's pretty amazing. Now, to make the picture a little bit more challenging, I'd invite you to go outside tonight, assuming there's no cloud cover, and look at the sky. And if you live out in Enfield or Canaan, you probably have a better view of the night sky than we do here in downtown Lebanon. But here in downtown Lebanon, it's still better than it would be in the city. And when you look up at the sky, you will see so many stars. And if you're lucky, you'll make out the Milky Way, the galaxy in which we live. And it's been postulated that there are 100 million stars in the galaxy. Now, I can't count that. You can't count that. None of us can. But we can take it on good authority. To put that number in perspective, it's been estimated that there may be 100 million galaxies out there. So yeah, we might feel like we're small and insignificant. But don't. Don't. The God who made the universe, the God who made the animals and the seas and the mountains and the skies, cares about us. He cares about us. And he cared so much that he came to us in the person of a baby. Now, yes, that didn't meet with expectations, because people would expect God to show up as a superhero or as a military figure or at least as a handsome politician who could cut good ads. But that's not the way God acts. God comes and surprises us. God comes and turns everything upside down. And another thing that Luke wanted us to understand was that he referred to the Hebrew Scriptures because he wanted to evoke imagery that the people would respond to. And so he shares these great verses from Isaiah about the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." I don't mean to sound glib, but that sounds like an incredible road project that God's going to be engaged in. But if you were one of the ancient Israelites, and you had been carted off to exile in Babylon, hearing this would have caught your attention. And it was a way of saying that God would be with you and God is going to handle the situation. People can mean exile in different ways. We can feel exiled from our culture around us. We can feel like we're strangers in a strange land. But we are not alone. God is with us. And as a monthly reminder of that, we have our communion. And when we share the elements, we remember the meal that was given to us by Jesus. And we're reminded of God's love for us, for each and every one of us. Now, I know that this may all sound a bit out there. And it came to my attention that last week I might have been a little bit of a downer in my sermon, but sometimes we have to hear these things. Sometimes we have to look at Advent with fresh eyes. And sometimes we have to recognize unpleasant news. And I'll say it again. You're going to die. I am too. And I don't know what the afterlife will look like. But our Christian faith tells us that there is something to come. I don't think it's going to be like a cruise where we get to sit in a chaise lounge and a waiter brings us drinks and food to eat all the time. But imagine being in the presence of the God who loved us so that he came to be with us. Imagine living in that reality of love and relationship. We can experience that here. But imagine that is what we experience all the time. Think about it. Why is that the case? Because God loves us. And that's one thing I really hope that everybody will hear and appreciate and come to understand during this Advent. Because God cares about the people who matter, which is every single one of you and every single person, not the folks whose names are in the newspaper or on the news each night, but you and you and you and you. You matter. I matter. And we should not forget that. We are made by God. Why on earth would God, who can do so much, waste his efforts on us? So we have a calling to respond to. We have work to do. We have a God to thank and to celebrate. And we have a God to prepare ourselves for. I hope you will hear the words of Isaiah, which were sung so beautifully before by Brian. And in that music, you can get a sense of how glorious God's creation is. And then you might also experience it when we take communion later on today, when we remember how we can help one another, how we can do things to love one another. Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this Advent message that we read in Luke. We thank you for Scripture, which can nourish us and sustain us and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray.